everybody. This is Damian Holbrook from TV Guide Magazine and TVInsider.com, and we are looking at our new doses of comfort TV. It's a crazy time, but television has not failed us yet. So I am sitting here with two of my colleagues, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves, and then we're going to go over what we have been binging lately. So Allegra, why don't you start?
Hi, I'm Allegra. I'm an intern at TV Guide, TV Insider.
Hi, I'm Meredith. I'm staff writer and producer at TV Insider.
All right. So what have you been watching, Meredith?
I've been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And to be honest, I never saw the appeal until I decided to binge it before season six. And even when I did, I barely laughed because I watched so much in such a short period of time. But now it's my go-to for comedy, and I can rewatch pretty much any episode any number of times. It's on Hulu, and the good thing is, with Spectrum, at least, there's five episodes on demand each week. So I'll just put it on in the background, or if I have 20 minutes to do nothing, basically. And, I mean, I love the characters, I like the running gags, I mean, you can't go wrong with a heist episode, and there are cats and dogs occasionally, and who doesn't love that? Mm-hmm. And if you like comedy with your crime, and anyone who knows me knows I love procedurals, then this is really something different that you can tune in for. And I've never cared one way or the other about Jake and Amy's relationship, but I do respect and acknowledge how sweet their romantic moments can be.
You don't care.
I just haven't seen the appeal. I don't know why, but I mean, right? Captain Holt and Kevin are relationship goals, I think, for any show on television right now, because no one knows each other like they do.
True.
When I spoke with the cast before this season, Stephanie Beatrice revealed that the captain's office is the coveted spot to take a break on set, which I think is just so fun to think of. And because of the changes for this season, there were new people in there.
Nice.
So it changed how things were around. And they have fun guest stars. You have SNL alums. There was that mini New Girl crossover, which I thought was just so fun to do. And on the drama side, I have to honor my love of mysteries, of course. And I actually binged MacGyver recently, but that led me back to watching Sherlock because I liked watching Mac's mind work. And I love Sherlock's mind palace. It's just so much fun. And that's something straight out of ancient Greece. Mm. And the best part of Sherlock is that while there aren't many episodes, there are only 13, including a special. Each is about 90 minutes long, so it's a really good sit down and watch and enjoy and think for a while. And there's also humor in it. I mean, a lot of people can relate to Watson yelling at the self-checkout, especially when he's being told there's an unexpected bag in the item in the bagging area. And then he just left, which I don't think many people would actually do. And yes, there's some through lines and with the villains and a certain cliffhanger that you should just watch to enjoy without having it spoiled. And you can see Hot Priest as a formidable foe for Sherlock. Who doesn't love Hot Priest?
Love the Hot Priest.
Yep.
Right? And while Sherlock and Watson's relationship is at the center of the show, there's a cast of supporting characters that you'll love watching interact with each other and with them. You have Molly Hooper, you have Lestrade, you have Mrs. Hudson, you have Mycroft, and of course, you have Watson's wife, Mary, who is not at all what she seems. So really, it's just something good to watch and sit and think and not think for a while.
Nice. Those are good. And the self-checkout thing, I rewatched The Mindy Project, and Seth Rogen guested on the first season, and they had an entire self-checkout joke as well. And as someone who has a supermarket at the end of his street, that is such a real struggle. Such a struggle. All right, Allegra, what are you watching?
Well, anybody who, my friends will tell you that there are two shows that I am constantly trying to get everybody to watch. Usually people don't listen to me, but now they will because I'm on a podcast.
There you go.
The first show is Lodge 49, which it was on AMC for two seasons, and now the whole thing is available to watch on Hulu. It is a very strange show and kind of hard to describe. But Wyatt Russell, who is the son of Kurt Russell and Goldie, he plays this kind of perpetually unemployed surfer dude who's just kind of drifting, and he discovers this lodge, like a Masonic lodge, like the Elks or the Shriners, one of those I don't know, fraternal orders. And he joins this lodge and kind of meets this eclectic cast of characters who are just kind of trying to make the best of their life in Long Beach, California. It's kind of, if you like The Big Lebowski, I think that's one of the most obvious comparisons. Or Northern Exposure, that's another one that it's been compared to. But it's just, it's about people who are maybe struggling in their jobs, who are living these kind of unfulfilled lives, but who are looking for meaning beyond everyday life. And there's all these kind of undercurrents of alchemy and like mysticism that are very weird, but very very thought-provoking, but also very funny. It's an hour long, kind of has the feel of a drama, but it's also incredibly funny. In the second season, Paul Giamatti is a guest star, and you get to see him jump out of a plane. It's absolutely, you never know what's going to happen. And it's one of those shows that it's hard to describe, but once you watch it, I think you can tell within two or three episodes if you're going to be into it or not.
Right.
And once you're into it, you're really, really, really into it.
Okay.
And the other show that I ride or die for is High Maintenance on HBO, which originally, it started as a web series actually on Vimeo, and now I think it's just finished its fourth season on HBO, and it is so unlike any other show. It follows this guy who is actually an unnamed pot dealer. But it's not a stoner show. And that's what I kind of keep telling people. People, oh, I don't know if I'm going to like it. It's not, you know, it's not Pineapple Express. It's not Cheech and Chong. It really just uses this guy as a window into the lives of people. So each episode follows one or two different people who this guy meets. And what's really great about it is because it was a web series first, there are these small kind of mini episodes from before it got picked up as a series. So if you're not sure if you like it, you can watch the web series first, just fire off, you know, two or three of those short episodes and kind of get the feel of it, see what it's about. But what I think makes it such great comfort TV is that it has such an optimistic tone. It's always that you think something is going to go wrong or something strange happens. Like there's this one episode where the main character is trying to get his teenage niece to get tickets to Wicked, but he can't. So instead he takes her to this weird like Brooklyn TED Talk thing. And you think that it's going to be cringy and strange, but she ends up loving it and making friends with all the kind of weird Brooklyn artists. So it just has this optimistic tone. And you never know who's going to show up in it because every episode focuses on a different person. So there's all these really great and unexpected guest stars. Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey pops up in it. Danielle Brooks from Orange is the New Black is in an episode. Amy Ryan from The Office. Every episode is just something different. And at the end, it just makes you feel really good about humanity and good about the world. And that's what I look for in a TV show.
All right. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I'm looking for shows that like kind of give me some dose of hope or something like that. Though oddly, my drama pick is Nancy Drew on the CW, which, well, first of all, I'm a 12-year-old girl, so this completely appeals to my sensibilities. But it's everything, like, it's dark, it's got mystery, it's got supernatural stuff, but there's something so comforting about this show. And I think it's because I grew up with the original Nancy Drew Hardy Boys show. So they even had Pamela Sue Martin, who played the original Nancy Drew. They had her as a psychic in the pilot of this on the CW. And it's just, it's funny. That's the thing it is. They do a great job with the scary stuff. And the mysteries, shockingly, have been really, they've done a really good job of like, doing a season-long mystery arc, and not a lot of shows can pull that off. They'll do like a season-long supernatural arc or something, but this is actually like a full-blown mystery, and the fact that it's just kind of buried into all this other stuff is just gravy, but the writing is really, really funny because they're not teenagers. They're all like very early 20s or like should be in college, and there's an actress named Leah Lewis who plays Nancy's best friend. Well, Nancy's Kennedy McMahon, who's phenomenal. She's just such a good Nancy. She's like messy and like not sloppy, but like she makes mistakes and she's she gets things wrong. So she's not like a perfect gumshoe, which I love. But this girl that plays her former best friend, George, is this girl named Leah Lewis, who was like I think she was on The Voice. And she's got this incredible, incredible singing voice, but they're not playing around with that like they do on Riverdale, where it's like suddenly she's singing. You just know that she can sing. And there's this kid, Alex Saxon, who plays like the town stoner, but like he's more than this. Like he's really sensitive. It's really sweet. Like I get very effusive when I talk about this show because the adaptation is so tricky because it's such an iconic source material. And by taking that idea of Nancy Drew and really not doing the whole, like, it's a dark and gritty version, you know, like she's not like doing heroin in an alley. They've gone an opposite way, but still giving it this subversive twist. And Scott Wolf plays her dad. And that's my favorite thing right now, because when you think of Scott Wolf, you think of like he's Scott Wolf. He's just like, he's always going to play the good guy. And we found out recently on the show that he actually did something super shady back when Nancy was born, and that Nancy's not even actually a member of the Drew family. And like, that is twisted. And the fact that they can pull that off and mix up the canon like that, I'm just super into it. I'm just loving it. And then the other thing that I discovered when I was still working inside an office, and you have to like YouTube things, SNL has all of these clip compilations. I think they're also available on like SNL.com or NBC.com, but they're just like collections of their best of. So it'll just be like SNL commercial parodies, health, or commercial parodies, insurance, or commercial parody, like, or just be like all the Jeopardy skits, or all the fake game shows, or all the fake press conference skits. And it's hilarious because you're not dealing with any of the crap skits. You don't have any of the commercials, and it's kind of season spanning. So you'll see something that has like Abby Elliott playing, you know, Zooey Deschanel as like one of Regis Philbin's replacements on Kelly and Regis. And then it'll jump to, you know, Daniel Craig's episode from last, you know, 2 weeks ago. So I get completely sucked into these. And the next thing I know, I've spent an entire Saturday YouTubing these compilation clips of SNL. And it's just such a great escape because you find those specific skits and those specific performers, then I go and YouTube them. And then the next thing I know, I'm spending an hour and a half with like Kristen Wiig. So I am super into that. And I just, it's such a nice reminder that TV is always there to give us some kind of escape, you know, and I just love that. So, and I love you guys for these picks because they're so diverse and weird. And Allegra, you reminded me that I need to catch up on High Maintenance because that was a show that was so charming.
Yes.
And Meredith, I will say, as far as the Jake and Amy of it all, I feel like that romance and that relationship has gotten so much better with their pregnancy storyline.
Yes, it has. And also, you brought up Scott Wolf not playing bad guys. He did on NCIS, just an FYI.
Well, I feel like everyone is getting to play a bad guy on an NCIS or a Law and Order.
It was a pretty good arc. I want to say season 8 or 9, the end of the season.
I'm going to find it. All right, well, listen, you guys, thank you so much. I want you to have a great weekend because it's a Friday when we're recording this, and stay safe and sane. And if you guys are listening to this and you like what you hear, click like, subscribe, retweet, tweet, Insta, fam, I don't know, like all the hashtags in the world, have the feels, whatever. And come back next week because we will have some more people talking about what they're comforting in. So thank you guys so much and have a great day.
Thanks.